Good evening, everyone. This is Reverend Charles Womack. Greetings from Faith-Driven, Grace-Living Ministries. You know, I would like to begin this message by first saying Happy Father's Day to all of our fathers. You're the father of five. You know, he had won a toy at a raffle. You know, he called his kids together to ask which of them you should have the toy. You know, he asked a sequence of questions. The first question he asked you all was, who is the most obedient? Then he asked, who never talks back to mother? And then he said, who does everything she says? Your five small voices answered in unison, okay, Dad, you get the toy. You know, we have arrived again, you know, when we honor fathers. You know, we are to honor the fathers and mothers. And on this day, you all, on June 21, it's set aside, you all, for us to honor the fathers in this country. But, you all, we are to honor our fathers, you all, not because it's a holiday, not because, you all, it's a tradition, and not because, you all, there are sales going on all over the country, but because, you all, God said so. In fact, you all, he said it so specifically. The Bible tells us, you all, in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verse 1 through 3, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. You all, this is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Notice, you all, it doesn't say, you all, honor only good moms and dads. It doesn't say you'll honor them if you like them. It doesn't say you'll honor only the right ones. It says you'll honor your father and mother. And so, you all, today, you all, we want to honor all fathers. But you all want to speak directly, you all, to the dads that are listening in this evening. And if you're not a dad, please don't check out. Because, see, you all, we all need to hear this. You see, you all, we are involved in a war this evening. And the battleground, y'all, it's not in Iraq or Afghanistan. Y'all, the battlegrounds are in our homes. And what's at stake? Y'all, it's not our land or our property or our freedoms. Y'all, it's more important than that. Y'all, what's at stake, y'all, are our children. And believe me, y'all, it's a war. And it's an important war, y'all. And in this country, y'all, we are losing the battle. I mean, your children are turning from the faith in record numbers. It's as if, you all, as soon as they leave home for college, they leave the church. And, you all, this is not, you all, true just on this side of the world. You all, this is true all over the nation. I mean, children in record numbers are turning from God. But, you all, it's nothing new. It's the same, you all, that's been happening over the course of time. But y'all want to share with us, y'all, a brief biblical story that will give us the guide that we need for the remaining of our message. Y'all, is found in the book of Judges, the Old Testament. Judges, the 2nd chapter, 6th through the 12th verse. But y'all, let us first, y'all, get a little background here. Now, of course, y'all, the nation of Israel, you know, they had just marched into the promised land and they were settling into the land. Now, y'all, it wasn't, y'all, a complete victory. Because, see, when they went into the land, y'all, they didn't always follow what God desired. And instead of conquering all of the land, instead, y'all, they settled into some of it. And so just before, y'all, what we're going to look at this evening, y'all, they were instructed, y'all, that they did not do what God desired. And so, y'all, they repented. Now, y'all, keep this in mind because this is where we pick up in our story this evening. Again, Judges, 2nd chapter, 6th through the 12th verse, and it reads, after Joshua had dismissed the Israelites that went to take possession of the land, each of his own inheritance, the people served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and the elders who outlived him and who had seen all of the great things that the Lord had done for Israel. Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110, and he was buried in the land of his inheritance at Timnath-Harasa in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Goash. Verse 10, after that, two generations had been gathered to their fathers. Another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what the Lord had done for Israel. 11, then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served gods of Baal. They forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of Egypt. They followed and worshiped various gods of the people around them. You're once Joshua and his generation passed away. You're the next generation turned their backs on God, and they worshiped the gods of the people around them. You're today, in 2026, you're many of the new generation, you're, they no longer wait for mom and dad to pass on. You're many, you'll turn away immediately and worship the God of this world. You let me elaborate for a brief moment. Very important piece of doctrine here. You see, y'all, when the adult Christian gets out of fellowship with God, y'all, we enter into carnality, reversionism, which is going in the reverse direction of God. Y'all, when this happens, y'all, we imitate, y'all, we mimic, we reflect the unbeliever. 1 John 2:16 tells us, these are not from the Father, they are from this evil world. Y'all, that said, y'all, the new generation, y'all, they are not of this world. Y'all, like the all saints, y'all, they are in this world, being influenced by the same temptations of our day, just a whole nother level. Y'all, in addition, y'all, listen to John's description of behavior of many of our baby Christians who are in need of God's rescue. Y'all, it is so, so intimidating. Verse 29, they then became filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossipers, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things, but also approve of those who practice them. Yo, do we realize, yo, that we live in a culture, yo, that approves of turning its back on God? I mean, y'all, from court to TV to popular movies, yo, it's okay, y'all, to make fun of religion. Because, see, y'all, it's not important. Y'all, it's not relevant. I mean, y'all, it worked for mom and dad, but it's not for me. Well, can I share this with us this evening, y'all? Mom and dads, y'all, you are at the front lines, and this is a war. And we are called to be a part of it. Y'all, this evening, y'all, I want to give us, y'all, our marching orders to tackle this important task of saving our children. And, y'all, we're going to look briefly, y'all, at a few steps that I believe will help us to do so. So how can we win this war? Y'all, three suggestions I now share. Number one, with our words. Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Press them upon your children. My brothers, y'all, we need to talk to our children. I mean, be involved in their lives. Tell them about God, our version. And tell them, y'all, about the Bible. Remember, y'all, we must talk to them, y'all, about our story. I'm talking about, y'all, what God has done for me so that they can share it with others. I mean, are we sharing it with our children, what God has done for me? Well, y'all, I need to. Y'all, I ought to. Y'all, a study was done recently, y'all, to determine the amount of interaction between fathers and their small children. First, y'all, the fathers, y'all, they were asked to estimate the amount of time that each of them spent each day with their child. The average answer, y'all, was about 15 to 20 minutes. Next, y'all, microphones were attached to the fathers so that each interaction was recorded. Y'all, the results of the study were shocking. Y'all, the average amount of time spent by these middle-aged fathers with their small children was 37 seconds each day. your direct interaction was limited to 2.7 encounters daily, lasting 15 seconds each. You'll look it back at Deuteronomy 6 again. Can that be accomplished in 37 seconds? Do we want to know, how much time society has with our children? Your 37 seconds, it doesn't come close to meeting the job. We must communicate with our children. Tell them about our God and about the Bible. Proverbs 1, listen, my son, to your father's instructions and do not forsake your mother's teachings. Don't let the schools be the only thing that instructs the children. Don't even let the church be the only thing that instructs the children. That's not an indictment on the teaching ministry of any church. But mom and dad, the church, it's not responsible for raising our kids. They will help, yes. But when the Bible tells us to raise up a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not turn from it, that's not the church. That's parents. Dads, how are we doing with our words? Are we fighting? Number two, with our time. Robert Schuller, pastor of the Crystal Cathedral, he once said that he chose to fail so he could succeed. He said, I chose to fail at golf because I wanted to succeed as a father. Though he loved golf immensely, he knew that he could never devote adequate time to his job, his hobby, and his family. So he gave up his hobby. How are we doing with our time, dads? We look at Deuteronomy 6, but let's look, at 7 and following. It says, impress them upon your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols to your hands, and bind them to your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses, and on your gates. Dads, do we want to know what's important to our life today? We just look at our day timer. Look at our schedule, our itinerary. Where our time is devoted, that's what's important to us. Unfortunately, many dads, they say by their time, that they love their jobs, that they love their hobbies, that they love their entertainment, their comfort. However, if you ask many of us if we love our children, we would swear that we do. But our time, it just doesn't match up. And then some of us, we have been bought into the thinking of this world that I've got to keep working and working and working so I can provide for them the finer things of this world. And providing for family, it's important and biblical. Verse 8, anyone that does not provide for his relatives, and especially his immediate family, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. But I think that sometimes we go beyond what is necessary. There's a story that's told of this man who asked his daughter if she wanted quality time with her dad or quantity time with her dad. She replied, quality time, Dad, and lots of it. I read about a little girl, who drew a pretty picture. She went to her dad's office. She crawled on his lap and said, Daddy, come and see my picture. And the dad said, not now, honey. Dad's busy. About 10 minutes later, she came back again, crawled on his lap and said, Daddy, will you come and see my picture now? And the dad, he got frustrated, and he said, can't you see I'm busy? Don't bother me right now. I'll come and look at your picture later when I'm ready. A couple of hours later, the dad, he came out, and he said to his daughter, can I see the picture now? And the little girl said, sure, Dad. And it was a picture, of her and her brother and her moms standing on the lawn with the family dog, all with big smiles on a sunny day. But the dad, he noticed, that he wasn't in the picture. And so the dad, he said, Oh, that's a nice picture, sweetheart. But how come I'm not in the picture? The little girl said. Because you're working in your office, Daddy. My brothers, your time is a gift that we give that we can never get back. We can give money and always make more. We can give gifts because we can always get new things anyway. But once time is given, it never comes back. Time reveals the priorities of our lives. And if we want to win the war with our children, then we've got to invest time. Genesis 18:18 through 19. This is a revealing passage. It reminds us, that Abraham, will surely become a great nation, and all nations of the earth will be blessed through him. Verse 19, for I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the ways of the Lord by doing what is right and just. The way we live our lives is going to be a direct reflection on how our children will grow up. There's a song, that reflects this thought. It's called, I Want to Be Just Like You. And it says, I want to be just like you, because he wants to be just like me. I want to be a holy example for his innocent eyes to see. Help me to be a living Bible that my little boy can read. I want to be just like you, because he wants to be just like me. Dads, we better be the right kind of dads, because they will mirror us. It's kind of like the situation of this little boy, who was caught cussing like a sailor. Young man, where did you learn to talk like that? Said the mother. The boy, he looked at his father and said, well, Dad, should I tell her? 2 Kings 14:3. It speaks of a king of Israel by the name of Amaziah. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. In everything, he followed the example of his father, Joash. What kind of example are we setting for our kids, dads? Our words, they may say some things about us, but our lives, our time, they declare who we truly are. Are we fighting the war with our lives, with our time? Now, as we conclude, there may be some young voices of mature souls that are listening in this evening. God, he speaks to young souls too. So let me say this to them, my young brothers and sisters in Christ. Your life, it's not always what we want, and it's not always what's best, and it isn't always pleasing to God. But there are some of us who are listening in this evening who have fathers, who are not always that great, or maybe not even there. I was raised in a household without a father myself. So, how can we honor our fathers? Even when it's difficult. How can we go through life without a good father? It was a typical scenario of young boys debating, whose father was the best. This discussion, it highlighted, who their fathers knew. The first boy, he started the debate by claiming, that his father knew the mayor. He was soon topped by the second boy, who said, oh, that's nothing. My dad, he knows the governor. The stakes were getting pretty high. And the eavesdropping father, he wondered what his young son would say about him. The little boy, he shot back. He said, so what? That's nothing. My dad, he knows God. Dad, would our sons say the same thing? May our children always be able to say, my dad knows God. How are we fighting the battle? Maybe we just need you all to start today. First by apologizing to our kids. And then you'll just start anew. So I say to each of you once again, happy Father's Day. And may God bless you. May God keep you in your relationship with your kids. Good night, everyone. God bless.